We very rarely ever hear anything about ramifications for referees who possibly might have a bad game. What is the process? Are they held accountable? Well, to answer those questions, Rod Hild now joins us on the program. Afternoon to you, Rod. Welcome.
Hi, Matt. All going well?
Very well, thank you. So, Rod, first question, are referees accountable?
Well, I do believe they are, ultimately. At the end of the day, all the squads we have are reselected based on the nature of the or whichever the competition is.
So
we've got seven professional referees in New Zealand, and when we're selecting those guys, we're actually looking long-term. So whilst people say you can't ever be deselected, I mean, you know, there's a career that these guys are following, and we're doing our best to grow them to, you know, be the best they can be.
I guess when they finally do get to Super Rugby or international level, we probably expect them to be, you know, we consider them to be amongst the very best, that they've sort of risen amongst the ranks, and they understand the rules, their interpretation, that they are consistent in their rulings. And therefore, I guess, when it doesn't happen, rightly or wrongly, we, the public, get sort of a little bit upset and we think they're a little bit inept. So what is the review process once a referee has completed a game?
Well, typically, what happens is that, you know, the referee post-game immediately, they're just in the normal wind-down mode and into relax, reflection and rehydration. And then within the next 24 to 48 hours, they would be going through the footage of their game in detail. And they'll be,
and Rod, who are they going through that footage with?
Firstly, they're doing it on their own, as
yes.
Because we want them to do a self-reflection. You know, looking at what went well, what didn't go so well, what could have I done better. And then there'll be another person looking at it. In New Zealand, we call them referee coaches, and they're doing the same thing, and they'll be looking at the same footage and taking clips. And then the two people come together and compare notes on it.
Is there
and then a final review is written.
Is there a danger with referees doing self-assessment that they end up sort of losing clarity and they end up sort of walking on eggshells a little bit because they're so conscious that they are being reviewed and that they don't want to make mistakes?
No, not at all. I mean, we've really structured the review process more around how we want to go and develop people because, you know, it is a negatively geared sport, you know, from a refereeing perspective. And we've shifted the context that over the last few years to continue to grow and develop people. And we still want the ultimate accountability, and that happens in the reselection process. But from game to game to game, and we're looking for that consistency, we want to get the referees to have a really strong self-awareness about what they're doing in their games. And the reflection process is really critical in that part of it.
What are some of the ramifications? Let's use that word. What are some of the punishments, I guess? That's probably a bit too heavy, probably not quite the right word. But what are some of the ramifications for a referee who underperforms or who has basically a clanger?
Well, the first thing is to have the open conversation and agree whether it was or where it was or wasn't, and what's actually caused it. Often it can be something that could have happened pre-game or leading into the game that, you know, they encountered and it put them off their, you know, their tightly planned preparation before the game. But then once it's happened, you know, it can range from taking off a future appointment, and ultimately, I guess, the worst-case scenario would be dropped from a squad at the end of the season at a reselection time.
So can a referee be dropped off the back of just one poor performance? They might be great referees, but they go out there and, you know, there's suddenly a media storm and everybody feels that the referee got it so horribly wrong that it was a mistake that shouldn't happen. Can they be dropped off one poor performance?
Certainly not in the referees group that I manage. That wouldn't happen probably at a Sandale level either, I wouldn't suspect. And it's not, people don't, you can lose form, but you don't actually lose the talent or capability that you're involved in that sport. And it's about taking people, you know, if they do drop form, you know, if you take them off the future game, work with them and then bring them back into the draw at a later time.
Do you believe that at the highest level, at Test level, and maybe when it comes to key games in Super Rugby or at Super Rugby level, well, let me ask you, put it this way, why are these reviews not made public so that we, the fans, can get some sort of understanding of how the game was reviewed, maybe the rationale behind the decisions and what the potential outcomes are? Why is it sort of so secret squirrel?
Well, I don't like to call it a secret squirrel. It is a very personal review, and it is about the referees accepting and that where an error or major mistake has occurred, that they've got an open environment that they can be vulnerable and prepared to speak about it. Now, our guys, some of them will speak publicly when they're asked. I recall Angus Gardner on the Super Rugby game earlier this year, where he actually apologised something that was with TJ Perenara, I recall, where he'd made a mistake. So, you know, there are times, but in terms of their overall performance, they are kept in the house. For these professional referees, it is their job, and it is their career, and have their job and their careers out in the public forum, I don't think is not something that's done.
But Rod, I mean, players' performances are put out there in the public. Coaches are, ground staff are. There seems to be every other aspect of rugby have some sort of level of public scrutiny for all to see, rightly or wrongly, but not referees. Can you understand why maybe we as stakeholders, we as fans, get a little bit frustrated?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I think one of the issues we have in the refereeing world is the difficulty in attracting referees to our game. And we know that right at all levels across New Zealand to bring, you know, people into the game as referees, and if there's the propensity more for a criticism or a something to occur that's negative, then that's likely an impact on the ability to attract referees. That'd definitely be one of the reasons. And of course, you know, it's one game, and it is a game after all that we try to enjoy. And the referees are there doing their best. They're not out there to deliberately make mistakes, as we all know.
Yeah, look, it's like a coach. I don't think any coach gives an athlete anything because they want them to go slower. They want them to go slower. But I guess the issue is that a lot of these referees are now highly remunerated, and they do play a key part in the game. Now, look, historically, there have been, you know, those moments where the referees have been vilified. You know, you've only got to go back to the tour of South Africa in 1976, where, you know, New Zealand fans will argue that we're up against 16 players, the referee being the 16th man. We go back to that quarterfinal in 2007. The Australians will argue, or the South Africans will go back to that quarterfinal against Australia in 2011. Scotland will have all sorts of complaints over the refereeing of that narrow loss to Australia back in 2015. In situations like that, what are some of the potential ramifications if the referee was to come out and address the media and answer the questions that the media perhaps want to ask of the referee?
Well, the number one thing, the game's under the auspices of whatever body is running the game. So they have, you know, that's where it's controlled from. We've got to manage the sport as a whole, not as a small piece. And I know everyone would like to hear from the referee. Now, at the end of the day, all the referee is doing when they're out in the middle there is ruling on what they see in that split second of when things can happen. And we've seen some decisions at the highest level where things have happened in that split second and it's changed the outcome of the game. Now, what can a referee do when they get in front of the media? All they can do is talk about what they're thinking about at that moment in time and then move on. And then after the game is go back to their own review process and try and understand, you know, what really happened there, what caused me to operate in the way I did in that heat of that moment.
Rod, is there a written directive from New Zealand Rugby, or in the case of Super Rugby, SANZAAR, that coaches and players are not allowed to comment on a referee's performance post-match in press conferences?
All of us involved in the game who have contracts with New Zealand Rugby can't openly talk and disrespect the game in any way whatsoever. So it's no different for referees as it is for...
But is critiquing a referee disrespecting the game?
That's just how it's done, Mark, would be my view.
Rod,
I mean, would it be good to openly say that the referee had a poor game when the review is done and the review process that we use post-game might only identify one or two things. Two things that happened in the game that really affected the outcome of the game, but the other, 70 or 80 minutes were ideal.
Rod, I really appreciate you coming on this afternoon and giving some clarity here and being perfectly honest. And whether we agree with it or not, it's nice just to get some clarity from someone within New Zealand Rugby, someone from the governing body. So, Rod, you are the high performance manager, and I've had a little bit to do with Angus Mabey here, who works here in the building and is, going to be refereeing at Mitre 10 Cup and has done some, AR at Super Rugby level. And through spending some time around him and also having gone up to the Coral Coast Sevens and having developing referees head up there, I'm actually pretty impressed with the high performance program, the pathway that you do have in terms of getting referees through to the top. Just give us, and I'm running out of time here, but just give us a little bit of an understanding of that process and how we do get to that group of referees that are understood to be our best.
Okay, we've got a talent ID identification program which identifies people by the character of the person first and foremost, and we're bringing them at the Jocobs under 19 level from club football, and then once they come into the high performance unit, we've got about just short of 30 referees in that, of which only 7 are professional referees. Now, those 7 professional referees, they come together every couple of weeks where they do peer reviews on their games. They seriously challenge each other on decisions that are being made. All the others in our high performance end have physical targets that they need to meet. I guess in your background on athletics, 22 and a yo-yo is a pretty good effort from anyone.
I'd be happy with 10 at the moment, Rod.
Like same as me. and we underpin all that with a mental skills program, because the pressure is really what the referees have to deal with in the heat of the moment.
And if people listening to this want to get involved in refereeing, mind you, talkback hosts like me might be turning a lot of them off, but if people do want to get involved, and even if it's just at a club level, the schoolboy level, etc., what's the best way of getting information and getting involved?
Oh, I think contact your local provincial union, and then 0800 referee is a good way. I've been involved in refereeing for years, Mark, and I've got a lot of friendships globally, and that's one of the benefits I see of our sport. It's a global sport, and you can make some really good friendships